I told you Wednesday night that there's great things happening. And I say that in testifying of Jesus Christ in me. So if I'm testifying of Jesus Christ in me, are you included in that? Yes, you are. And so great things are happening in the Lord, and some wonderful things are beginning to come forth in power. And I love God for that. We've been talking a lot about a foundation, correct? And in doing so, one of the first things we said in laying a foundation, what do you have to establish within yourself? That God is God, okay? That God is, and He alone is God. And because without that, we are nothing. We're unbelievers until we come to that in our mind. Until we allow the Word of God to sow that into the mind, we are in unbelief. And God, then the Word of God has no power. And we can say that. Someone can go, well, I have to do it. I'm going to turn to Romans 1. Now listen to this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now listen. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So, in other words, if we do not establish in our thoughts that God is God and that He alone is God, then we have not come to that place where we are believing that God is manifest in us by the Word of God. It's only the Word of God that makes God manifest. Are you with me in that? Only the Word of God makes God manifest. Now, we know that only Jesus Christ can reveal the Father. That's why we know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Because as the Word, He makes the Father manifest or revealed. So only the Son can reveal the Father, and only the Father can reveal the Son. And so first and foremost, then, we must believe that God is God. Amen? And He is the only true and wise God, Him and Him alone. So foundational, that is foundational to all of us. The second thing I want to confirm with you this morning is this, that in laying a foundation, do we not need to believe that to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul? So if we do not establish, or if we have not returned to our first love, then in us, are we agreeing with the Word of God? What are we agreeing with? Our own imagination, which we just read in Romans, the book of Romans, verses 18 and 19. So we are not agreeing with the Word of God. We're still agreeing. We're still within an idol within ourselves. So if we're worshiping idols, are we with God or are we without God? We're without God. So we know that worshiping idols is fornication. That's what the Bible says. So if I'm worshiping my own thoughts, or if I'm keeping my own thoughts first and foremost above the Word of God, I am committing fornication. And if I'm committing fornication, I am not with God. I'll tell you this, that Jezebel is ruling my house, and the prophets of Jezebel then are ruling my mind. And they're all false prophets. So we can establish all those things by the Word of God. I was in a conversation this week with some people, but in that conversation, I'm going to say this very lightly and carefully. In the conversation, it was apparent. When I'm in conversations with people and it's because they're asking me to do something for them, then I ask certain specific questions, and when I ask the questions, I am hearing or listening for what their mindset is when it comes to who they are and what they believe. That's just what it is. Because you want to be able to say the right thing to them or say the thing for them that because if they've asked me, then they're praying to me for something, right? So I feel like they have opened themselves up to me so that I can say needful things for them to hear. So I really believe that. And so in the conversation, it was apparent that they are still serving. They don't, and it's because they don't understand. Hear me. It's not. I'm not judging them, but I am judging the mindset they're in, because it's the mindset that wars against the truth, and the mindset that they're in. They're still serving what first? Their selves. That's their mindset. And so if I'm still serving myself first, do I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul? Is that not the first commandment? So it's important then that we begin to establish, if I'm laying the foundation of God in my life so that the Word of God can come and build the house of the Lord, right? The Word of God's going to come and build the house of the Lord. Well, the Word of God is what's coming to lay the foundation too. Let's not say we're laying our own foundation, which is wood and a bunch of other stuff and straw that just doesn't cut it, right? We can read that in the book of Romans as well. But we're laying a foundation built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, so that as God builds that house, it cannot fall. I don't care what comes against it, it cannot fall. It is impossible for it to fall when it's built right. Are you with me? So in Peter says, if I keep you in the remembrance of these things, you shall not what? You shall not fall. So what things was Peter referring to? Okay? More specifically, let's look at it. We might as well stay specific in our conversation, right? Let's go to, I think it's 2 Peter. I always get lost between 1 and 2 Peter for some reason. Yep, I got it. Wherefore the rather, brethren. So before this, he's speaking, let's just read it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, but that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. So what's the Word of God allowing me to do? To be a partaker of His divine nature. I was in a vision about this morning. This is awesome. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the corruption that is in the world comes through what? Lust. We know that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, correct? That's the carnal mind. What we don't understand is what comes from it. What's the fruit of that lust? That's the part that we don't understand. We know it's sin, and it's death, correct? Sin and death. We know it's those things, but we haven't allowed God to form in the imagination how great or how powerful those things are that work against the thought of God or work against the Word of God. Amen? That's the part we don't know. And besides this, giving all diligence, add. So now, as the Word of God comes, is it going to add to the promises? Okay. That's important that we understand that. So if I'm a partaker, is God going to add to me? The partaking allows the Word of God to add to you, right? Because now it's overthrowing the lust that lives within. Add. To your faith, virtue, your virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. So now, the fruits of the Spirit are now being made manifest, right? So when I become a partaker, and in order to become a partaker, what had to happen to me? You had to die. You had to partake in His death. When you partake in His death, now He can add to you life. Isn't that what He said? Right? If you will forsake your life, you shall find life. So I became a partaker in the gospel in the death of Jesus Christ, and now I can partake in life. But I had to partake in death first. Amen? If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall not neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. Now he just told you what it took to become, right? To be a partaker, you shall, he will add to you, and you shall become Christ, the Son of God. You shall be what God wants you to be. But he that lacks these things is, number one, what? Blind, and cannot see afar off. In other words, if I'm blind, I live in the moment of life, not seeing things that are afar off. What's afar off? Okay, we call it future. What else? How about that which is to come, right? Okay, eternity, right? So if I'm living in the moment day after day, I am blind. I'm just living for now. I'm just living for this moment. How many people do you know say that? I'll tell you this. Those people will never gain anything in the Word of God. They will stay the same because they're just living from day to day. They're not allowing what God is giving them today to bring them forth in the tomorrow. They're just not allowing it. So we know that when I become a partaker, am I becoming a partaker of he that is, he that was, and he that is to come? So if the blinders are taken off, can I now see afar off? Can I see something greater than myself in the moment? I can now see who I am becoming through the partaking of the Word of God. Isn't that what prophecy does for you? Prophecy tells you who you are to become in the mind of God. So that in prophecy then, I am not looking at what I am today. I am now seeing by the grace of God what I will be in the eternities of God. I have a promise. Those are the promises that God has established in you by his word. Very important. Now it says this, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Here's the person that lives daily without being, that is blind. He lives in his sins every day. He's forgotten that he was purged from his sins. So when he puts his feet on the floor, he gets up, and the first thing he says, God, forgive me today. Gets up the next moment, God, forgive me today. What is that, repentance? That's not repentance. Repentance is not working. Thus, the foundation of God is not there. He has established nothing in his thoughts when it comes to who he is in the promises of the Father. It's not there. He's blind. Let's go on. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, okay, brethren, I want you to, rather than live that way, let's live this way. That's what he's going to tell them. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Okay, so this is looking forward. I know I am called of God to be. That's forward looking. I know I am called of God to be. To be what? To be as he is. That's what I am called to be. I am called to be as he is. Nothing less. There's no lesser place or lesser grace in God than to be who he is. Are you with me? Okay. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall what? Never fall. So, if I am giving diligence to make my calling and election sure, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to become. I am going to be. Everything that God said, I shall be, I am. So when Jesus came, he looked those Jews right in the eye and he said, before Abraham was, I am. So everything the Father promised you in the Word of God, I am. And is it not the same for you? Some people will say, this is how the religious mind will erupt itself in you. And it will say, well, you'll never be Jesus. You know what I would say to that? You liar. You're a false prophet working in me. And I am not going to listen to you anymore. Because it's a lie. I know what I have been promised by the Word of God. I am trusting in the Father. I know what the Father has ordained for me through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is to be like Him. Jesus did not think that it was, how do I want to say it? He thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God. Likewise, in Christ Jesus, neither do I. Because I have the mind of Christ. I looked at this couple I was talking with this week, and I told them, in Christ, I am free. The law has been fulfilled, and it does not work in me other than through the law of grace. That's the only way the law works. So through the Spirit of life in, or through the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, the law of grace is now being fulfilled in me. They looked at me like I was, how do y'all want to say it? Like I thought way too highly of myself. And the reason they do it is because, listen, they are bound by condemnation. I'm not judging them. I'm judging the thought that was working in them that I could, I mean, it was made manifest. Why was it made manifest to me? To teach me. Who am I? Am I not the Son? So when those things become manifest, it's not to judge the person that's in the manifestation. It's to judge the thought that's in me to perfect it. To know how to deal with it. To know how to overcome it. That's awesome, isn't it? That's why it's given to us. Those people are precious in the eyes of God, aren't they? Isn't their soul God's? They both claim to know Jesus Christ. They go to church. They go to Bible studies. They're active in doing whatever they do. Whatever that is. I'm not in that anymore, but praise the Lord, right? For now, that's where they are. And because they are putting themselves in that place, can God meet them as He did me? Yeah. So why? I'm not going to pull that rug of faith out from underneath their feet. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to preach to them Jesus Christ and let the faith of God raise them up. Amen? That's important. Now listen. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if I'm never falling, where am I? I'm in the kingdom of heaven. If I'm not falling, then I must be being established in heaven. Did you hear that? That's it. Listen, we missed that. If I'm not falling, then I am in heaven. And how many times have we missed it? We've read this thing how many times? We've read it many, many times. And the thing that we don't understand, that if I'm not falling, then I am being established in heaven. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Let's go on. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. So now, here's Peter. He's the apostle of God, right? The thing that he is, listen, he's so, Peter is such a divine partaker, and this is why he writes it in his epistle. He is partaken of these things, and the power of it working in his mind is very strong. How do I know? Because, listen, you cannot come to the end of yourself in these thoughts and not have seen from the beginning how God nurtured his mind to the place where he would give all of himself, give everything within himself to bring forth his family, his sons, as himself. Are you with me in what I just said? God left no part of himself He gave everything in himself to bring forth whom you are as the Son of God. Jesus Christ, without him, what could happen? Nothing. Doesn't the Father say that through my Son, all things consist? Through my Son, all things have been formed. Through my Son. Because that Son is the Word that he himself brought forth and sowed to bring forth all things. So when we take that Word and we reduce it to fleshly man in our minds, what have we done to the thought of God? You have destroyed it. You have robbed from God. And in that mindset, can you pay tithes and offerings? No. It's not possible. This is why being a partaker becomes your only way of life. That's why Paul wrote it in Romans 12, 1, right? I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, bodies being what? Your physical body or your body of thought, the way you think? It's the way you think. You present your body a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto whom? Who can make you holy? God. Holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. So what's your reasonable service? To give everything back to God. Now, are you a tither and an offering giver? Are you with me? So, listen. In obedience, the things that I hear in the Word of God to do, in the beginning of it, I can only embrace it in the understanding that I have that's limited by the flesh. Does God condemn you for that? Or does God rejoice in that you are becoming obedient to what he is saying? Doesn't he begin to rejoice because the hearing of the Word of God is beginning to establish a foundational approach in you to allow the Word of God to form in you the true and living God? Absolutely. I was thinking of this morning. Moses, did he lead the children of Israel out of Egypt by the will of or by the grace of God? He did. And did the whole time that he was leading them, that he was in the way, in Jesus with them, did they murmur against the Lord? Constantly, here was the Christ and the constant murmuring that surrounded him. It was tribulation. In him, it was tribulation. Because here were the children of Israel in constant murmuring surrounding his thoughts, correct? And he knew that he was the way. He knew that he was to lead them into the promised land, yet all they did was murmur against God. That's all they did. And finally, when they were at the rock of Meribah, and he smote the rock, and water came forth, and the people murmured. And what did he do? He took his rod that was in his right hand, that was the power of God, and what did he smite? He smote the rock. And he did it because he was angered against the people. You know, what happened to Moses at that point? How many of you know? Okay, the Lord told him that he was not going to enter into the promised land. I want you to think, I'm going to tell you something this morning, and this is a wonderful thing. So he smote the rock. He got mad at what he saw in manifestation, right? And so he smote the rock. Did God excommunicate him or take him out of his position? Oh, it didn't go on through to the promised land? But where did he go? Oh, you mean there was a greater place for Moses than the promised land? Because the next time we hear about Moses, Jesus ascends into the mind of God. And he is transfigured. And in Christ is Moses and Elijah both. And I'm like, Oh, yeah. See, we want to think that Moses got excommunicated or punished by God. No. Moses was taught by that manifestation because as a son in heaven, that thought cannot exist. Hear me. So the manifestation of the whole thing was for who? Moses. Absolutely. It was for Moses. It was for the son to be taught that those thoughts cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you think Moses learned it? If he went in, I know he learned it. So will you, if you will get heed to what we're telling you. So will you, if you lay this foundation of the apostles and prophets, enter in. Because the apostles and prophets, where are they? They are in. Are they not? They're in. They're in the kingdom of heaven. They are not in the earth. They have overcome the carnal mind. The carnal mind does not control them. They are sent into the carnal. They are sent into the carnal earth to destroy it and to bring you out of it. Isn't that awesome? Do you know, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, that when, let's look at it this way, 10, 11 years ago, we came to the place where it was prophesied to sanctify the Lord. And through obedience, we entered into the sanctifying of the Lord. How did we do it? How did we do it? Because we didn't understand it, did we enter into it through the flesh? Oh, I'm telling you, we did. We did. In prophecy, was it in flesh or was it in spirit? It was in spirit. So we tried to sanctify the Lord through the flesh, even though we knew it was in spirit, but that's all we knew to do. Our understanding lacked what was meant in sanctifying the Lord. Amen? In the book of Revelation, in the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him, as soon as God introduces the revelation of Jesus Christ to himself, when he does that, immediately, he sends an angel to the seven churches. Each church had an angel. In other words, he sends a message. Let me put it this way. He sends a message to the angel that is in each church, and there's seven of them. Who is it that's being sent? Jesus Christ. The messenger, he gets a vision of this Christ, right? What he looks like. And every time he goes to the church, he testifies of who sent him there. Every time, Frankie. And every time he opens up his mouth to speak the truth, amen, it sanctifies that church. Is it being worked in heaven for you? So, listen, I want you to hear me carefully this morning. When Jesus Christ is being revealed in us, and those churches are being made known, and God sends that Word of God, God sends that Word of God to those churches, what does it perform? What does it show them? Does it show them what they're doing that's good and what they're doing that is evil? And that, what about the evil? To turn away from it and let God prevail, Now are we sanctifying the Lord. The apostle, he becomes so important to you because he's working the sanctification of Jesus Christ in you in spirit. It's very powerful. In those things that it begins to reveal, does it cause that mind in that church to fall? It does. Absolutely. So in the remembrance then, in the first church, it brings them to the remembrance of what? The first love. To love the Lord thy God with all their heart, with all their mind, and all their soul. That's the message of the angel to the church that is at Ephesus. And in doing so, in bringing that remembrance to them, they shall what? Never fall. That is why these things that we preach are so important to us all. Most importantly, to the preacher. Most importantly, to the preacher. Because how can they preach unless they be sent? Amen? So in order to be sent, what has to happen? What's needful? Does the angel of the Lord have to be awakened in them to where they can hear by faith? Absolutely. So then faith comes by the word of God, right? If the angel's being awakened because of the hearing of faith, is the word of God now present and alive? I'm telling you, yes, it is. And it is in you as well. Praise the Lord. So then, I will tell you this. I've told you this before. From the mindset of God, does the carnal mind understand sin? No, the carnal mind does not. The carnal mind is what? The carnal mind is sin. Do you think it's going to call itself the enemy of God? So then when the Word of God shows up and tells it it's the enemy of God, does it rebuke God? Does it rebuke the Word of God? I'm not evil. There's no evil in me. Evil doesn't exist. I'm telling you, that's how the carnal mind speaks to itself against the Word of God. And God says, not so. There's many things to learn when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. First and foremost, has God asked you to be a partaker? Yes, he has. Listen to this. I'm going to read this again. I'm going to start in Peter, 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, who is Peter now addressing? Who's he addressing here? Is he addressing you through me? Or is he addressing the thoughts in himself that agree with God? What's he doing? He's agreeing, he's preaching to the thoughts in himself that are in agreement with God. That have like precious faith. Amen? Listen to this. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So who was called to glory and virtue? The apostle. And every thought in him that has like precious faith. So when I started out this morning, I told you that I preach to myself. And you get to be a partaker of it because in my world, you are there. Amen? But hear me plainly. We are not addressing flesh and blood here. In other words, we are not addressing who you are in yourself. We are addressing who you are in Christ Jesus in like precious faith. It's hard for us to allow the Word of God to train the mind away from the body of flesh, isn't it? So much so. Now, let me go on. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things, that by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Whose nature is divine? Jesus Christ. So now, we started out this way when we started into this chapter, into the speaking this morning. We have laid a foundation. In laying the foundation, you become a partaker in the divine nature. Because you are building that foundation upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that your foundation is established and sure. Thus, the building upon it will be established and sure. So there will be nothing lacking in the house of God. It will be built by God. And unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen? So you are becoming a partaker in the divine nature. If I am becoming a partaker in the divine nature, can I allow that nature to begin to be raised up and begin to rule my mind? That's what God's asking. If I am partaking, then allow that nature, which is Jesus Christ, to be raised up in the mind to overcome even the most simple or the most unimportant thing in the mind that we think there is. And I'll tell you this, God's going to start with those things first anyway. Because those are the things that you can identify with first and foremost. The deep things, only the Holy Ghost can reveal the deep things of God. Amen? Very true. So when it comes to us pray, what should we do? When it comes to us to pray, what should we do? How about pray? When it comes to us to sing unto the Lord, what should we do? Sing. When it comes to us to pay tithes and offerings, what should we do? Pay tithes and offerings. When it comes to us to go to church, what are we going to do? We're going to go to church. Are those the simple things? And if we are faithful in simple things, is he going to begin to establish us in greater? Yes, for sure. Absolutely it is. Ted's question was, is that part of the foundation? And the answer is, most assuredly, it is. Now listen, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So how do you become a divine partaker, a partaker of the divine? Escaping, if you're obedient to the simple things, what's happening? You're escaping the corruption of the world that is in lust. So every time I pay my tithes, every time I go to church, every time I join the fellowship, every time I pray, every time I sing unto the Lord, what am I doing? I'm escaping the lust that is in the world and the corruption with it. Oh, man. Yeah. I am believing God. I am trusting the Lord. And it will be my success. Not mine. It will be Christ in me's success. Because now what's he doing? He's overcoming the corruption that is in the world through lust, through my obedience to the Word of God. Praise the Lord, man. These things are great. So now is there an adding to? Yeah, yeah. And he's going to continue to add to it. And continue to add to it. And continue. Let me ask you something. Do you think that God adds to the apostle? Oh, man, I'm telling you something that we think that in perfection we'll know everything and we won't need to grow anymore. I'm going to tell you something. In perfection, you will always be going and growing. That's what perfection is. That's what perfection is. It's the perfecting of the Son. Just like we talked about with Moses. So when Jesus Christ was translated and he had the disciples there with him, what did Moses and Elijah talk to the Son about? You don't remember? Okay. Talk to him about the death he was going to suffer and why it was needful. So who was being taught? Christ and who else? Moses and Elijah were being taught. Now, Jesus knew why he was sent from the beginning, correct? But in remembrance of these things, you shall what? Do you think that Jesus is going to teach us any differently than he himself was taught? Do you think Moses, when he appears to us, is going to teach us any differently than he himself was taught? So when the apostle stands before you and preaches, is he going to tell you something any different than how he himself became a partaker of the divine nature of Jesus Christ? No, he is not. That way the one mind of God is ever present, ever truthful, and grace abounds. That's pretty awesome to know. That's right. The time is no longer. It is no longer. Because now we're the ever-present, ever-truthful mind of God made manifest. How else can we be sent to our generations and preach the truth of the everlasting gospel? Do you know that in order to be sent, you're going to be fully instructed? That's good to know, isn't it? God's not going to say, hey, I want to send you so you can learn something. Well, the Lord, I'm already in heaven. He's not going to send you to learn it. He's going to teach you and send you so that you can overcome it. So here's a mighty thing about grace. It's been preached before, but maybe we haven't understood it. Does God prepare you for tribulation? Absolutely, he does. Why? So that you can overcome it. God never tempts you. The Bible says so. With evil. Right? He will teach you and give you through grace everything you need to be an overcomer. And then he will test you as to whether or not you believe it. You understand what I'm saying? And it's never in the flesh, the body of flesh that we call human. It's always in the spirit. Absolutely. That's why Paul says in tribulation, I rejoice. Because what's happening in him in tribulation? He's overcoming it. I'm an overcomer. And when I overcome it, what do I become? What happens in the overcoming? What do I become? I become a Christ. And another thought in me becomes Christed, to be sent. Wow. See, there's many things we're learning. And many things are going to be learned in you. In the end of it, we are the mind of Christ. We are the Father. And sit on His throne. Because He willingly gives it to His Son. That's your inheritance. Praise the Lord. Are you with me in what was said today? I hope so. These things are needful. These things are, this is the aim or the goal of God for each and every one of us. He does not think about any one of us as being less than another. That's why it is sin to compare yourselves one to another. Right? And strive within yourselves about one possessing more than another. Because in Christ, it's not true. Because he that has more is going to do what? No. He is going to give to them who have less. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Praise the Lord. Are you with me today? I'm glad you're here. Amen. You're going to feed those thoughts that do not understand the understanding of the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. We'll call it an end today.